Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to come through this month of Ramadan that we've just had, mashallah. And what a beautiful month it was, and the lights of the month of Ramadan and so on. Now the thing is that, I don't know if I was able to explain this, but Imam Ghazali mentioned something that really made life a bit easier for me, because you know, when you're fasting, you feel broken. Especially by Asr time, by late afternoon, you feel weary, tired, you feel lethargic, you feel like sleeping. Does anybody still feel fresh, mashallah, all the way until iftari time, and they're exactly the same? They can do, anybody like that? So I used to feel really bad, because you know, when you listen to these stories or read these stories in Fadail Ramadan, and these people who, mashallah, they're just so energetic and they accomplish so much, so you feel a bit bad. Why am I like that? Okay, maybe it's health issues, but what else is it, you know? So you start feeling bad about that. So Imam Ghazali said, actually, no, that is designed like that. Ramadan is designed to break you. Not in not so many words. Ramadan is designed to break you. Which means that it's to cause hunger, to make you hungry, and to make you sleep deprived. Why? What do you get out of doing that? The benefit of that is that when you're not like that, and you're well fed and well slept, and you're fine, then you're a lot more confident, and you're just more negligent in that state. You're just focused on the dunya in that state. Whereas when you're broken, you're wondering, it makes you think, why am I doing this? I'm doing it for Allah. Do I have to do this? What do I get out of doing this? And then mashallah, Allah gives us this amazing excitement at iftar time. What a dopamine rush at iftar is. It's an amazing rush that is. Can you imagine if you had iftar every hour and you got the same feeling where you get once a day? That would be amazing. Okay. The purpose of that is to break you and make you think and reflect, to understand what the real purpose of it is. So when you're not so hungry and the nafs is being deprived, it helps us to overcome it and overcome the bad ideas and reflect. That's why this is the time to make resolutions. This is the time to make resolutions. Because we've actually gone through such a stressful time, but it's a positive stressful time. Sleep, deprivation, food, deprivation, lots of worship and so on. That's why after Ramadan can be different from what it used to be before Ramadan. At least that's what Allah's design is. But unfortunately, we go back to doing exactly everything the way it is. Let's not lose that opportunity. It's been a week only. Let us not lose that opportunity. Let us maintain at least some aspect of that Ramadan. And let us prolong some of the things and extend some of the things and endure with some of the worships that we did and avoid. And the paradigm shift and the difference in our thought process, that's very important. I just got a call yesterday from some brother I've never met before, though I've talked to him many times, so I kind of know him, but I've never met him. And he happened to be in Umrah for the first time. He's a businessman. And he's in Umrah and he's been on my case for like a day or something. I need to talk to you. So I said, okay, fine. I gave him some time and we spoke. And he said, you know, I've been here for this many days, and aside from the first time I saw the Kaaba, I just don't feel that same thing and that same urge to just go there all the time as all of these other people are going. You know, crowding around the black stone and getting to the door of the Kaaba. I don't feel that urge and I don't feel that same sense. So I listened to him. Essentially, that was his coming, like, why don't I feel like that? Am I just completely messed up? So now I tried to bring some sense into it because I've had that experience. So what we mentioned is, I said, number one, I think I don't know what you're comparing yourself to, because I'm not in your mind, I'm not having your experience, I'm not with you. I can't sense what you're sensing. I don't have your experience. But maybe just to put some perspective of it, are you comparing yourself to what you have read in Fadail Hajj? He's a Tablighi brother, and I know he was in Jamaat like just 2 months ago. Have you read Fadail Hajj and you're listening to all of these amazing stories in Fadail Hajj? Fadail Hajj has some amazing stories, really inspiring stories, exceptional stories. I said all of those stories are exceptional, otherwise they wouldn't have been in that book. I hope I'm right. They're not your regular stories, they are exceptional stories. That's what they mentioned there, of the people's experiences of Hajj and what they experienced, what they saw, what they witnessed. So if you're going to compare yourselves to them, then, you know, that's going to be a big shock. So stop comparing yourself in that sense. He was talking about tawaf, you know, and so I said, number two, what you have to understand is that don't compare yourself to other people as well. You don't know why they're going for the black stone. A'udhu billah, Allah forgive us, but maybe we've gone and tried to kiss the black stone just to show how macho we are, that we can get through it. It's a possibility. I'm a big guy, I can just get through, shove everybody out of the way. Let me show you how to do that. And believe me, once I did it, I got to the multazam. And when I got out of that, shaitan just overcomes you, like, look where you are. And it's all of these guys, and you're right there. I was, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So you have no idea why people are going there. We're not underestimating everybody's intention, but let that not make you feel bad as such. Right? So that was just to kind of bring him down. However, the other side of the story is that Hajj is a journey of love. And if you don't know what love of Allah is, you're not going to get half of what you're supposed to get there. Why should you go around 7 times around the Kaaba? Because you're unfit, so at least do some exercise once in your life? No. You go around because that's the house of Allah. Your love of Allah is what takes you to His house, because that's as close as you can get. When you have a lover, you want to be as close to them as possible. Anything you love, you want to have it in your possession. If it's a human being, you want to hug them. People hug their cats and their animals because they love them so much. Right? So you hug them, you want to kiss them, you want to be close to them. So when you're going around the house of Allah, you are essentially saying, this is as far as I can come, Ya Allah. I'm going around your house. And only a crazy lover would do that. I know you're not inside, but this house is attributed to you. I can do that because, you know, let's just say that you are going past. You got somebody who's very special to you who lives in Leighton. And you're just going past Leighton. You just see the board. What are you going to think of when you see Leighton? The board. You're going to see Leighton stone. It might remind you. You're going to see once that not a big deal. But you see, Leighton, yeah, he or she lives there. You're immediately going to think that. So going around the house is essentially, that's what you're doing. Then if you get, I told him, go to the multazam. I said, get to the multazam, put your chest there, hug it, like the Prophet ﷺ did, where he showed us how to do that. And put your cheek there, and then you'll see that is the most experience. That's the most amazing experience, to be honest. That's amazing. That is what the Prophet did. Allah has allowed us to do that. That is the love, that's the physical love we can show, if you want to translate that into a type of physical love. And if you want to kiss something, go and kiss the black stone. Because humans have this desire to do these things. I said, you need to go Umrah. He was in Umrah. I said, you need to go Umrah multiple times. Or you learn love at home and then you go and you'll see the difference. Or you go and you learn it there. Similar, somebody else contacted me about just over a week ago. I've been doing dhikr, you know, my own dhikr sessions, my own dhikr amount. And mashallah, sometimes I feel it, and most times I don't, and I can't bring that presence. So I said, it's not really something you can turn on and off all the time. The presence of Allah, you can't turn on and off. Sometimes you can bring it on, like if you're really focused. But I said, the whole purpose of these adhkar are to get us into the presence. That's why we sit down and say, La ilaha illallah, subhanallah. Otherwise, that's not the real dhikr. The real dhikr is to always be thinking about Allah. But we don't. So we sit down and we forcefully do it, or compel ourselves to do it, so that we're always remembering Him. So what the person was saying is that when I'm doing this, I'm not sometimes in the presence. Well, you're not going to be, because it's not our state yet. That's what we're trying to create. So now don't stop dhikr because you don't feel that, because the dhikr is to get there. A lot of people say, I don't feel right, I don't feel it. So what's the point of doing it? You're doing it to create that effect. You're doing it to always think. That's why you're doing it. With anything else, you get bored of the same thing. But with Allah, the more you do, the more He will finally come and allow us to have that presence. So hopefully that gives us some understanding of this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and give us really, allow us to go to his house. and to really benefit from there. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.